Hello, I'm James Sandy, and welcome to The Unseen Swerve, a wide-eyed look at lockdown arts and culture from Birmingham and the wider West Midlands. If you're a stranded creative, a confused curator, or an organisation in flux, you can get in touch with ideas for future show features through our blog, theunseenswerve.blogspot.com. There's also an archive of our shows to date and more information on some of our guests over the series. In this programme, we get digitally demanding with Birmingham Museums Trust as they take us beyond page clicks for a virtual treasure trove of interactive resources. This is Switch. So, joining me now through the wonders of modern technology is Lucy Elvin from Birmingham Museums Trust. Lucy, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. And as we all, I think, by now have got used to online things and online resources, we're going to talk excitingly about Birmingham Museums On Demand, which is a whole bundle of things, some of which are really quite exciting. So let's start with what Birmingham Museums On Demand encompasses, what it includes.
Okay, so we developed Birmingham Museums On Demand from something that we started right at the beginning of the pandemic. So when our sites closed back in March, we had to think very quickly about how we could share our collections or continue to share our collections with the community and the wider community. So the first thing that we did was create a series of online lectures. And we did that with our in-house experts, some of the tour guides that weren't able to work anymore, and developed some content so that we could do those weekly, and those built up, and they were really good and they were very well received. And obviously, you know, when you've got experts talking to you, it's completely engaging and it's a great experience. So we thought, right, okay, so we've got these lectures here that we show once, we show them live once a week. It would be really good if we could package those and, you know, let other people listen to them. And so we came up with the idea of Birmingham Museums On Demand. And what we do with that is we use some of the lectures that we've previously shown live in 2020 and some exclusive recordings that we've done specifically for Birmingham Museums On Demand. And we package those up and sell those passes, a monthly pass on the website. So each month now is a pass where you can access four pieces of recorded content that have never been offered for free before. So it's all fairly exclusive. And yeah, so you buy a pass and you get access to those links to watch recorded content.
Now, I think a lot of people will be used to kind of the idea of on demand and, you know, paying a pass or a subscription or, you know, accessing things virtually, because, you know, that's the kind of way that we are at the moment. But this is quite different in some ways, because that in-house expertise is its real plus point, isn't it? You're not just trailing people around, you know, some of your buildings and some of your collections. You're really adding that richness to it, I think.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, some of the people that have been involved have been our curatorial team, and they have a wealth of knowledge and expertise. And obviously, as part of their role, they've done a lot of research. So they've got a lot of valuable information to share. We've had our curator of fine art, we've had a curator of natural science. And then, like I said, our tour guides who, you know, quite often have art history knowledge and things like that. And they're used to taking groups around and talking about different works, different objects, different sculptures. But one of the great things about Birmingham Museums On Demand and sharing our collections digitally is that you can really zoom in on some of the high-res images and see some really, really incredible detail that you wouldn't necessarily see if you were on a tour physically in a museum or gallery.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the kind of virtual tours that are available, because I think anyone that goes to the Museums Trust website will be kind of grabbed, I think, by this kind of 3D floor plan that is presented. And just to sort of outline some of the venues, I think we've got a list here, which is, so naturally you've got the Birmingham Museum and Art Gallery, the kind of central point, if you like, but you've also got Aston Hall, you've got Blakesley Hall, and you've got the Museum of the Jewellery Quarter as well. And I think people will be familiar with things like Street View and Google Maps, those kind of things. But this is a very, I think a much more kind of high resolution experience. You know, it's very, I was playing around with it yesterday, yeah. And it's very smooth, and it's almost like you're kind of, so for to give people an example, you can stand in the gift shop and kind of feel like you're in the gift shop, which is quite something, I think.
Yes, you can. And, you know, you can go to the different levels in all of the different museums and have a really good nose around. And it's a really clever interactive piece of technology that we've used, you know, over a variety of our properties as well. So you mentioned Birmingham Museum and Art Gallery, but our historic properties as well. Aston Hall is a fantastic Jacobean mansion on the outskirts of Birmingham in Aston. That's well worth a look around. It's got some fantastic rooms, a huge number of rooms, and an incredible long gallery that's one of the best in Britain. So that's well worth a look. And then Blakesley Hall is our Tudor Hall, and Museum of the Jewellery Quarter will show you how people lived and worked in those times and give you a real good insight into the Smith and Pepper jewellery factory.
So as well as some of the virtual tours that are available to people so they can explore these places in their own living room, there's also a digital image resource, an archive really, of not just photos and portraits and paintings, but a real kind of a resource. That's the right word to use, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tool that's very much used for research. And it's another way that we can share our collections and people can download images from that resource as well. It's very easy to use, very user-friendly. You just put in the search bar what you're looking for and it will bring you up a range of things with that in the title. So, for example, if you wanted to search for some landscape paintings, if you just put in landscape paintings, it will bring you up paintings by artists like David Cox or by Turner, but it will bring you up Birmingham landscapes as well, and all sorts of fascinating works of art that, you know, that people can use, just look at if they want to, or like I said, use for their research and education.
And let's talk about some of the things that you've got coming up. So, you know, across the next couple of months in terms of perhaps some of the lectures and talks and some of that content that people can access. What are some of the highlights that you've got coming forward?
Our lectures are always on a Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. You sign up via the website and we send you a Zoom registration, and it's quite a simple process to sign up. The April Pass, we've got something on the Pre-Raphaelites. We've got a lecture by Wayne Dixon called Landscape of Memory, and he's looking at the childhood influences, the influences from his childhood of J.R. Tolkien, who is the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And you may know that he had a house just around the corner from Sarehole Mill and lived there between the ages of 4 and 8, and used the area around there as his playground. And that was some of the inspiration for characters in books and things like that. And then focus talks, we've got some wonderful paintings being talked about by the artist Albert Moore, and a study of clouds by John Constable. So there's a range of things in there, you know, Civil War, animals, art. It's brilliant.
It's a real kaleidoscope of things, isn't it? I think what struck me when I looked through it was that there is literally something for everybody, in the sense that, you know, it's pitched at people who obviously like arts and heritage, but it's also things for young people, things for kids, but also people who want to dive a little bit deeper into some of the things on their doorstep.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're absolutely right. You know, there is a range for a range of people, and I think that it's all about making the collections accessible to all people. And you know, some people know a lot about art, some people don't know anything but are quite interested. And I think that, you know, doing things online where you can be anonymous, for example, you know, our lectures are done via webinar, the Birmingham Museums on Demand, that's a pass that you watch those films in your own home. You know, you can do that without judgment, if you like, if that's the right way to say it. So, you know, you can learn from your own home, I think, is what I'm trying to say there.
It allows you, I guess, to sort of travel through these things at your own pace and your own time, doesn't it? And I think, you know, there's always that good thing about travel and being a tourist, that you don't have to be known anywhere. You know, you can just sort of be the spectator, can't you? It allows you to do that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we're hoping is that, you know, from seeing some of these things, we might create or we might encourage a new audience to come and visit our sites when we reopen.
So when you embarked on this project some months ago, probably nearly a year ago, I guess, we're going up to that sort of milestone, aren't we? What were some of the initial challenges in doing this? Because this is massive, you know, and I think a lot of arts organisations have moved quite quickly to put things online. And there, you know, it does present new challenges, and it is, you know, technically can be quite difficult, but there's also, you know, a lot of new things that have sprouted from having to do this. So what were some of the things perhaps you faced through this?
Well, I think, you know, things like Zoom, for example. I mean, who had ever heard of Zoom before March 2020? Not many people had they? And we were all learning, you know, we all had to make a really quick pivot in what we were doing from engaging with people physically to engaging with people digitally. And, you know, we already have a website and a digital team, which we're lucky to have. You know, it was about just having a lot of conversations with a lot of people about, okay, we've got these ideas. What can we do? How can we move it forward? And I think that if you've got the will and you know, the motivation and passion of people, which is generally people in museums, I think you can probably overcome most things. And yes, it was a challenge, and the technology was definitely an issue. You know, for example, recording and editing films to include in Birmingham museums that have to have quite a quick turnaround. That's definitely a challenge, but something that, you know, it's been enjoyable to do, and it's great that we can, you know, that we can connect with people still whilst we've got our doors closed.
There's a really interesting point, I think, at the moment where, you know, people are beginning to understand, I think, the arts and culture sector better, but they're also perhaps beginning to get a better understanding of some of the funding relationships that underpin them. And I think, you know, we all probably have Amazon and Netflix and various other subscription accounts, and those models, I suppose, are now starting to support some of the things that perhaps we've maybe taken for granted before.
Yeah, I think so. And I think for us, it's all happened quite organically. And I think that people, particularly from Birmingham or who have lived in Birmingham and know Birmingham Museum sites, you know, are always very supportive of the sites and what we do. And I think some of these things are another way for people to show support. It's almost like, I suppose it's like a charity subscription, isn't it, almost, where you might buy a ticket to a lecture each week, or you might buy a pass each month. But then I think it's important to remember that there are lots of things for free as well. So engaging with audiences is sort of a carefully managed relationship between paid for content and free content, because obviously not everybody can afford to pay to access.
Okay, Lucy. So if people listening want to find out more of the kind of wonderful things that you've got hiding out there, not exactly hiding, but out there on the internet through Birmingham Museums On Demand, where's the best place for them to go? Where can they find out more information?
Okay, so we'll be on social media, on our social media Facebook pages and Twitter pages. But if you want to go direct and get all of the information, birminghammuseums.org.uk is where you can find everything.
Excellent. And we'll signpost some of those things through the station's website as well. And just before you go, I wanted to ask you just a final question about how you think some of this activity might affect future things, because we're kind of establishing quite an interesting hybrid of things, aren't we, at the moment, where there's sort of remote and physical eventually, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, in the industry, we're calling it a blended approach. And by that, we mean that we will do physical activities in our sites and continue with digital activities as long as people are needing those things. So it might be that people aren't ready to come and visit us for quite some time, and that you know not confident in coming out to see us, so they can still connect with us digitally. But also, some of our lectures, we have people from Austria, Germany, we've had people from Missouri, from Texas, from the Bahamas, so they're not necessarily going to come and visit us physically. But, you know, they're enjoying connecting with us and listening to our stories online. So for those people, maybe what we will see is that our expanded audience will continue to expand, and we'll be able to provide content for those people.
I think there are now lots of households where the expression "I'm bored" can no longer stand, because, you know, when you look at this website and you look at the things on there, there's really no excuse to use that phrase anymore. Lucy, absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on to talk to us. We'll put the links on, as I said, but in the meantime, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.